that we find ourselves stripped of our usual defense, protection, strategy. In so many ways, for so many reasons, sometimes for joy, just because we can enter the state with the child of presence and awakeness. And oftentimes just because of sheer tiredness or something's not working and we've got to find a way to make dinner while the kids are freaking out or whatever. And so either we kind of let the defenses fall away and we let life dawn on us and in us, or it's the sense of it being stripped away or worn away by exhaustion. And I was just talking to a mom yesterday in an interview, and we were saying how strange it is for people who don't have kids, or maybe it's been such a long time since they had young kids, maybe, how different the world is when there's so much demand on the parents of young kids. We could extend that to say parents in general. We could extend that to say any time a human being feels that I'm a full participant in life and all of this creation is, I'm a caretaker of this. I belong with this and I care. So bringing that parent mind and child mind together into a sense of the child mind helps the defenses fall, and the parent mind helps us stay kind of upright and responsive. So exposed and awake. And that exposed and awake, that feeling of how much we're capable of caring, both emotionally as well as just physically, practically. And then that starts to wiggle its way, make a crack deeper and deeper, like really crack us open, like springtime, you know, cracks the world open. At certain points, it can be possible, it seems to happen, that our strategies don't work, we can't make it happen, it's impossible, but we can't give up because there's no one else. And in that kind of cracked world, in that kind of cracked persona, not able to hold it together, this real care with ease. So again, sometimes through the joyfulness and playfulness, and sometimes through the impossibility of the demands. And so something gives up. So whether through joy or through hopelessness, caring with ease, but full caring, unconcerned about anything, caring. So, and how far that is from the way we've been educated to live. So how far that experience is that we are in the midst of as parents. And I think we can also say that kids are in the midst of. And may they not unlearn that, caring with ease, naturally caring, without holding back. May we teach them to keep gathering together the caring and weaving out the fears and worries and anxieties. But how far this experience of fully caring, carefree caring. The glimpses that come. How far that is from our lives before we had kids. How impossible for someone who doesn't have kids to actually get the how great the demand is. And how impossible it is for a non-parent to get the dignity of all that demand. With the exhaustion, with the impossibility, with the frustration, with the feeling incapable, but coming through anyway. And so this is one of the great blessings of being parents on a Dharma path. And I wonder, I'd be curious to hear from anyone, anything you have to say about anything so far, but especially, or not especially, and also including, if I can raise a question, from that experience, which sometimes you might have heard me talking about the glass wall, so feeling as if I'm behind a glass wall when I'm with people who I know they can't get really what it's like for me to be in my situation, and they feel pity, which means they want to have some separation from what they see as purely a difficult situation without richness. And with it, if I'm inside the glass wall, how could I, as a, let's say, Dharma parent, Dharma mama or Dharma papa, by feeling the dignity of exhaustion and impossibility and carefree caring, how can I help like uplift the threads of that real honest, raw caring in the kids that does often come along with threads of anxiety when they're worried that mommy's, what if something happens to you, mommy, for example? So there are the threads of fear and worry and fear of death. Like it's very honest and raw and unpretentious and undecorated for the kids sometimes. They don't always talk about it, but if we're lucky, they do. So from our sensing of the dignity of carefree caring, of it being impossible, but therefore being able to be there much more lightly. How that could help the children's raw caring come through with a kind of upliftment that starts to lose some of those layers of fear. So anyone want to say anything? Also request, because there's a few things we could still do. That could just be the talk, and we could dance or color or sing or all of that in the next 15 minutes or so that we have together. But it would be really nice to hear from you. It's really fun to see the kids moving around. So anyone want to say anything, any comment or question, or any also request for how we do the last 15 minutes? Remember to unmute your microphone to speak. Hi. Seeing the kids moving makes it start to seem obvious that we need to move soon. Do some dance or whatever. That isn't too much of a big question, but can you say a bit more about dignity? Okay. So that Jamie typed her question, that's another good way. Yes, dignity. Big questions are so allowed, first of all, and small questions. Yeah, I think that's a great question because it can help clarify, you know, the whole spiel that I just gave, really. So our education is about trying to get dignity through achievement, through performance, through presentation, through following the some kind of rules, whether they're the insider rules or the outsider rules. And therefore, when it comes to that point where either through joy we give up trying to be normal, or give a presentation that is according to the rules. So we join the child or the children in being absorbed into the life of what's happening in the grass, or just laughing like crazy, or just moving, or just coloring. And we forget to be split, we forget to be double, and watch ourselves and make sure we're keeping it together and staying on track. So that would be through joy, or through helplessness, hopelessness, that we can't make it work the way we thought it was supposed to work. So we keep through in the situations of that happen with children, when we are with children as adults. More often than in other kinds of contexts. More often. So daily, probably many times a day. It is shown to be impossible to get dignity that way. It's shown to be impossible to keep it together. It's shown to be impossible to present an image that follows the rules or the expectation. And instead of feeling like a failure, oh, I didn't live up to my expectation, we get to throw out the whole idea of living up to expectation whatsoever. And then sometimes we could feel like, oh my God, I've given up and I'm, ugh. But then we find that we're left with something. There's something very alive. Maybe wordless, maybe in the belly. Move this so you can see a little more. We find the lightness of not watching myself when I go through joy, and we find the creativity and range of movement that's possible actually when we've given up, when we're hopeless, is so much more fun. The aliveness can come through much more easily. And then we notice that, so sometimes people talk about, they'll have a big spiritual experience and their main description of it will be, oh, it's so simple. Can it be that simple? Oh, it's so easy. It's so simple. And so it's just that doubleness, the separation, the membrane, the being gone, the aliveness is our presence and moves through and for. And we notice that that is dignity. That is what gives value to anything, that aliveness. And that compared to that, our attempts to be dignified in the sense of following the rules, having the right clothes or something like that, something basically to be impressive. We usually think of to have dignity is to be impressive. We think of someone, if they're dignified, then they have on kind of more fancy clothes. And they have a more restrained body movement. But we can really notice this deep hypocrisy of giving up aliveness in order to try to be impressive so that people think we have dignity, so that I can then think I have dignity. In other words, feel safe. And when we notice that we don't feel safe, and there's no backup, really, there's not another mom or dad back there to kind of come in when you're tired, you're it. And you know you're doing your best, and you know you can't do more than that. And because there's no backup, you know that in a way that you don't know it in any other situation. You know you're doing your best, and you can't do more, and it still is impossible. And life is going on. And sometimes there's magic moments. And sometimes there's unbelievable mess. And none of that mess is crucially important. But we start to be able to gauge, we have this feeling of we can come back home to the dignity of aliveness that's already here. That just like the heartbeat keeps going on even when we aren't thinking about it or would even try to stop it or whatever. It keeps going on. Something keeps going on. We keep discovering, and because it's so fresh every time and so light, we don't store it in the same way, and so it's easy to forget. But we keep discovering that discovery of that, the freshness of how precious. When we're completely bare of any kind of presentation of dignity. And then it just can't matter what they think of me, because I'm doing my best and I did my best. Even if it hurts, it doesn't like matter. And the reference point stops being a diminishing one. That's about trying to be better. And it's like trusting that we are in a flow of doing our best. And we can't do it alone with individual separate resources. It only happens in another way that's like the Buddha's awakening was this discovery of paticca samuppada, the way things arise together, so emergence. The way things are born, samuppada, they're born together interdependently. We're in a flow that involves more than who I think I am. And we can give in to that. And that has great dignity. That has that brightness that when people saw Gotama after that realization, they saw him shining. Though he was wearing rags. So I really feel to start moving now, physically, and I'd love for you to also feel free. And even leave the camera on. You don't have to. I was feeling even the Dharma talk was like wanting to do that. So we can still talk and move. If anyone has something to say, to add, to comment, a question in the last 5 minutes, it would be really great to hear any voice other than mine. You could explore like back to the heartbeat or the blood flow, or you could just go with the flow, or your animal, or springtime. Or dignity. Or hopelessness. Or the belly. Anyone would like to speak, please don't be shy. Or if you are shy, just speak anyway, because I'm shy.
I'll speak just because I feel so guilty not saying anything when you're... But I feel shy, and my son isn't in the room with me, but maybe he would enjoy it. Next time I'll try to get the winners. Oh, but he'll have school next time.
Cool. If we get the technology right, then maybe we can take turns getting a little soundtrack for the last 15 minutes of our meetings. We can listen to the same music and dance together. How old are you?
Six billion year old.
Hey, I'm 6 billion year and one. We're almost the same age. We have almost the same age. Isn't that amazing? Whoa, beautiful dragonfly.
Wow.
So,
is over, and I thought that some of you may be able to stay on longer and talk to each other if you want, as part of the experiment, leaving it open. You can write chats on the side, or you can unmute your microphone and speak. We had said the meeting could be 1 hour or 1 hour, 15 minutes, but I need to go because I have to pick up Yanni. So thank you so much for being here. Anyone in the last few moments want to say anything? My last few moments before I go.
Thank you, Jaya.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. It was great to be together.
Thank you.
Bye. Let's see Lotus. Can we see her?
She's drinking now.
Oh, okay. Hi, Lotus. Hi, Lotus. Bye, Lotus. Bye, Clay. Bye, Tega. Bye, 6 billion and 1 year old dragonfly. Bye, Jaya Rose. Bye, everybody. Are there any more kids here that I didn't catch? Is Bridger there? Or Mile? Okay.
Next time.
Cool. Okay.
But we'll be seeing some pointing at this screen.
Hi, Bridger. Nice to see you. Okay, lots of love, everybody.
Thanks for the time.
It was really fun.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And remember, we can do the game that Sega was mentioning. Whichever kids want to observe to go outside and notice the wind and the sky and to write it into the Dharma Child page. Okay, bye.